Good morning, friends. I've had a couple conversations just recently about resurrection, the resurrection of Christ's body and the resurrection of our bodies. So I thought I would dedicate this week and next week to talking about those things. This week, focusing on the resurrection of Christ. Next Sunday, focusing on the resurrection of our bodies. The resurrection of Christ and the resurrection of our bodies is beautifully affirmed by the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 15. He was adamant that this was and is the absolute foundation of our faith. I'm going to be reading from 1 Corinthians 15, starting with verse 12 and going down through 20. Now, if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our proclamation is in vain, and your faith has been in vain. We're even found to be misrepresenting God, because we testified of God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if it's true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised. If Christ has not been raised, your faith is useless and you are still in your sins. Then those also who have died in Christ have also perished. If for this life only we have hoped in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have died. Amen. So just this past week, somebody came to me with a concern about something that I said. Not something that I said directly to her, something that I said to a friend of hers. But as we would have it in the church, people talk, and the friend was concerned, and she shared with this woman, and this woman was concerned, so she came back and shared with me. Apparently, at one point, I said to this friend that Christ's body hadn't been raised, only Christ's spirit, and that Christ's body was still in the tomb when the disciples arrived. I don't remember having this conversation at all, but if I did, that would be a really unusual thing for me to say. And the only logical explanation that I can come up with is that at one point, aliens came down from outer space, landed on Earth, entered my body, entered my brain, spoke words using my voice, but words that didn't represent anything about what I believed. That's my only logical explanation for what happened. My apology for the confusion that I've caused. So let me set the record straight. Christ was raised from the dead completely. It was a full body resurrection. It was a full spiritual resurrection. Not one part of Christ's body was left in the tomb. Christ was fully and completely raised from the dead. Is it a little bit confusing? Yes. And if so, we're in good company. We are not the first to be confused. As I mentioned 2 weeks ago in my Easter sermon, the women who were there at the tomb and the 12 disciples were also extremely confused. All four Gospels tell us this. Though they differ on the details, they are clear about this one thing. That first Easter was a mess of confusion, of fear, of worry, of being upset. They didn't handle it well. They didn't handle it well at all. They handled it like we would, like human beings. Imagine that. So if we don't fully get it, let's give ourselves a little break. It's not easy stuff. And maybe we're not supposed to get all of it. Maybe there's a reason that some of this is a mystery. There are some things about God and things about heaven and things about life after death that we're not supposed to completely understand in this lifetime and this side of heaven. Things that belong to the realm of the unknown. Things that are just beyond the veil. And we're not supposed to see beyond the veil, only glimpses. As Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13, just a couple chapters before, "For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then we will see face to face. Now we see only in part, but then we will know fully, just as we have been fully known." Every now and then I tune into what some of the megachurch pastors are saying at their megachurches, and every once in a while they have something useful to say. I'm just saying that playfully. But it always amazes me when they speak about matters of life after death with such clarity and conviction that there's no confusion at all. Why? Why do they do that? Not even the Gospels talk about life after death in that way. The Gospels even say all of this is a little bit unclear. They make a number of claims about the risen Christ. We know that Christ's body was raised. We know that it was a complete resurrection, body resurrection, spiritual resurrection. And the body that was raised was indeed the body that was crucified on the cross. How do we know? Because this risen Christ still had scars in his hands, in his feet, in his side. And that was the very thing that some of them needed, Thomas in particular, needed to believe that he was the Christ. "Unless I see the marks in his hands, unless I put my fingers where the nails were, unless I put my hand in his side, I will not believe." Jesus let him do it. "Put your fingers here. Reach out your hand, put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Why did the resurrected Jesus have scars? That's one answer. So that the disciples would understand, so that the disciples would believe, so they would make the connection that this risen Christ wasn't some ethereal spirit from heaven. This risen Christ was their teacher. This risen Christ was the one who was crucified on the cross. The resurrected Christ could be touched. There was a physical body that could be touched. But we also know that the physical body of the resurrected Christ could pass through walls and doors, as John's Gospel tells us. And the resurrected Christ could just appear and disappear just like that. One moment he's there, one moment he's gone. He wasn't a ghost, but he could just appear and disappear. The risen Christ could eat fish, and the risen Christ could appear in different forms, as Mark's Gospel tells us. And at various times, the risen Christ was both recognizable and unrecognizable. We know from the Easter story according to John, when Jesus met Mary there in the garden, she did not recognize him. She thought he was the gardener. It wasn't until he called her name, Mary, that's when the scales fell from her eyes. That's when she recognized her Lord and Savior. Recall the Easter story. According to Luke, the walk to Emmaus, the two disciples who were walking away from Jerusalem, presumably headed back home, giving up, Cleopas and the other disciple. Jesus came right along beside them and started talking to them. They had no idea it was Jesus. They didn't recognize him. It wasn't until later, after dinner, in the breaking of the bread that the scales fell from their eyes and they finally recognized Jesus. Why? How was this possible? How is it that sometimes Jesus is recognizable and sometimes Jesus is not? We're not comfortable with contradiction. We're not comfortable with paradox and ambiguity. But the Bible is, and the Gospels were. And the Gospels were comfortable saying, there is this and this. Jesus is recognizable and unrecognizable. Jesus is physical. Jesus is spiritual. And resurrection is some kind of cross in between the two. And I think that's what all this means. It means that none of this was fully understandable. Resurrection was something entirely new, something entirely different from anything the world had ever seen before. And they didn't have the words to describe it then. We don't have the words to describe it now, not completely. Again, we're just looking in a mirror dimly. It's a foggy mirror. We're getting glimpses and pieces, and sometimes even when we wipe the fog off the mirror, we're not completely seeing the full picture. Resurrection was not the immortality of the soul, as the Corinthians believed, and as the Corinthians were comfortable believing, that the soul would just live on and on without a body. Resurrection was not the resuscitation of a physical corpse. This is not Frankenstein. This is resurrection. And the risen Christ was more alive than he could ever possibly be, wholly, fully, and completely. Paul was adamant. This was and is the cornerstone of our faith. Everything rests on this belief. Everything rests on this affirmation. If Christ has not been raised, then our proclamation is in vain. If Christ has not been raised, then our faith is in vain. If Christ has not been raised, all of it is in vain. All of it. Nothing matters. Just a big mistake. Go on and join the disciples on their road to Emmaus. Join them in their defeat. Join them in their shame and embarrassment. Shake your head in disbelief. It's all over. We lost. Pilate, Herod, Caesar, they won again. They always do. Why should this time be different? This is the way of the world. The powerful always win. The poor and the vulnerable always lose. Walk away with the disciples from Jerusalem with the full weight of this burden of loss upon our shoulders yet again. That's not our story, is it? That is not our story at all. This is not what we affirm. The Christian story is a story of victory. The Christian story is a story of overcoming these things. The Christian story is a story of overcoming death and defeat and despair and this idea that we never win. In Christ's resurrection, we never lose again. And it doesn't matter if the Gospels and Paul all disagree on the details. What matters is that they all agree on the main thing, that Jesus Christ was fully and completely risen. And because he lives, we live too. This spirit, this thing within us, is eternal. It's forever. And the beauty of this Easter season and the beauty of this season that we're in of springtime says that there are signs and symbols and wonders of resurrection all around us. This is part of God's gift to us, God whispering, God reminding us, resurrection is all around you, this annual cycle of life overcoming death, this annual cycle of hope overcoming despair. And because Jesus was raised, the physical things of this world matter. our bodies matter. The bodies of our neighbors and all those with whom we share life matter. The physical bodies of the person halfway across the world matters. The physical world in which we live matters. And all of it is wrapped up in salvation. And as God is saving the world, God is saving all of it, our spirits and our bodies. And next Sunday, we're going to talk about more of the resurrection of our bodies, the resurrection of our physical bodies. So stay tuned. Prepare your hearts now. Prepare your homes to receive communion. Let us remember the words that Jesus spoke when they gathered with his disciples in the upper room, when Jesus took bread. And when he'd given thanks, he broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body broken for you. Eat this in remembrance of me." Likewise, after supper, Jesus took the cup. And when he'd given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Drink this as often as you do it in remembrance of me." The body of Christ, broken for you, take and eat. The blood of Christ is shed for you. Take and drink. Amen. The risen body of Christ, physical and spiritual, remains with us always. Thanks be to God. So be it. Amen.